Anyway, Venus and Saturn are in opposition, so they're squaring off. Desires wants what it wants, and the 10th house, which is Capricorn, or the tribe of Naphtali, is the taskmaster of our whole universe. So he's strong to labor, that taskmaster in us. It will speak to us and impose things upon us that we're not responsible for. But it's strong. So right now, it is not going to let Venus have its way without requiring something from her. And your Venus doesn't, it wants to bring a balance. Venus is Libra. That would be Bruce's sign. However, in all of us, we have those aspects that are touched by the heavens. And we need to understand how that affects us in our daily life, especially where the moon goes. But today, the moon goes into Taurus, which is an earth sign that will stabilize the whole thing and bring an end to some of that conflict that's been going on. However, there is conflict in the heavens right now, I'm telling you. It's going on. The scripture talks about the woman clothed with the sun, and she's has the moon under her feet. So she understands her own emotions. She allows her emotions. Let me read you out of Hind's Feet. If you hadn't read this book, you need to read this little allegory. It's I guess Hannah Harnard wrote the greatest allegories I've ever read. They're just so true to life. She's come to a place where she's really afraid, and she's in the high places with her shepherd, going up really tricky places where she's afraid to put her feet. Sheep are not nearly as daring as a goat. Now, a goat will climb. He's sure-footed. And that's Naphtali. He's sure-footed. And he will dare himself to fall. The sheep's not quite that aggressive. Anyway, she's come to a place where she's really afraid. And it's this says, the little foreword that it has in it, or the answer to where she is, with reverent expectation, just come into Jesus' presence. As Beverly said, she started this off. As you are quieted before him, hear him say to you, what is it? What's wrong? And he doesn't say, what's wrong with you this time? Like we would to a kid, all right. They fought all day, and they've been to mama, and they've been to daddy, and you're just saying, stop, period. Just stop whatever you're doing. But he doesn't treat his children that way. He wants you to learn. He doesn't ask because he doesn't know what's wrong with you, but because he wants you to learn to be honest about your own feelings. Now, none of us can expect to be perfect until he's finished forming us in his image, in his likeness. Growing up involves failures. Folks, allow yourself a little room to miss it. The taskmaster can become a very arrogant, snooty, unloving thing. We need to go down the mountain sometime and see what's really going on at the root of our understanding. What's really going on with me? And not me examining you. I mean, you got your own thing to wade through. Everybody does, and it's wonderful. This is what we were sent to experience. The highs, the lows, the rain, the uns, just like the ups, but get past them. We don't need to take that experience that we had 20 years ago and bring it into the now and be upset about it. Ding, let it go. Get an eraser out and say, dude, you're done. You're not coming to my mind no more. Because I'm over you. We're divorced. Leave me alone. And he'll leave. If you resist your enemy, he will turn around and run. The problem is when we fail, we tend to be swallowed up in our own misery and don't want to come to him one more time. We fear he's going to say, oh, not again. He will never do that. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. Do you have a reverential fear of some kind? If you don't, you need to build one. I mean, he's your creator. He's your breath. He, she, it, all the things we don't know to call it. Him. Him is because of our society. You do know that. That we refer to him as a him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. He's not looking at our transgression. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He's mindful that we're nothing but dust. Remember, we're just dust. We're his creation. It's like Morgan said. You can't do enough for him to disown you. You're just not a bastard. We've got to get Kate to teach on the bastard generation again. Bring us up to date on that beautiful thing. Where it's forgiven. This is our jubilee. So, it says, get in touch with your feelings and pour your heart out. Don't keep hiding those precious feelings. If you need to cry, go somewhere and lock yourself up if you're ashamed to cry in front of people. I'm not. I need to cry, you're elected. And that's the way it is. But I can laugh with you too. I mean, why don't we be honest and tell it like it is? But you can't tell it like it is if you don't know what it is. You just keep shoving it back in the corner and saying, I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to let that be. I'm not going to let that happen. Let it happen. Take it out and play with it. Show me. And then get over it. The sun comes up tomorrow. It's going to change. The moment's not going to stay like it is. Remember, he loves you. He accepts who you are. He laid down his life for you. So let your heart fill with joy and burst forth into the bloom with this knowledge. If you've never read this, pick you up a copy somewhere. They're not expensive. Hinds Feet on High Places. She starts out the allegory with characters. Much afraid. who lives in the house with craven fear. So we need to think about these things. The scripture says, fear hath torment. Indeed it does. It will frighten you to death. But I want to get back to the conflict in the heavens, because that's happening right now. Let's see. It's not a far-off event. It's not only happening, it did happen, it is happening, and it's going to happen. It's continuously moving cycle. So, we live in cycles. That's just the way we live. The scripture says, and we're not looking for a literal thing in Revelation 12, and there appeared a great wonder in the heaven. What is your heaven? Everybody creates them a world they live in. Every one of us have a particular, what we call our reality world. Me, I created me a soft place to fall. A beautiful reality. I had to learn to do that because you're born with fears. Everybody has them. It's normal. He meant for us to have those, experience them, and move on away from them to a higher place. So there appeared a great wonder in your understanding. This is not particularly a literal thing. A woman, Morgan talked about your soul being united with your body and spirit as worship. Indeed, that's a high order of worship. Bringing your being into a oneness so you feel no schism anywhere. That worship, it just gives you a relief. Like Karen said, it'll get you through. You worship with a body of believers. And we've had people tell us about our little worship here. It's not big, but the spirit and the energy given off from it spans states and nations. Others tell me they feel it. Did you know that? You can't destroy energy. And God's energy is so expanding, far reaching. It's the essence of who we are. That energy is strong. So it touches everything. And you can't kill essence either. You either got it and are plugged into it, or you don't. So let your essence just flow. I told you a vision I had once. I saw roses blooming. We were living in Brunswick, Maine. About the only thing that bloomed there was snow. But, and ice. But I looked across that frozen plain. I was sitting at my little desk, and I saw roses, and I saw the Father's hand, and I thought, what beautiful roses, and He plucked them up, and took a mortar and a pestle, and squeezed and beat and crushed, and He said, this is you. This is you. This is my people, because I want to release that fragrance that I am throughout the world. So yeah, you can feel it, you can smell it, you can live on it. It's awesome. there appeared a great wonder in your understanding. A woman, your soul is your womb man. The man with a womb is what soul is. You've created a womb where you can receive seed and incubate Christ. This is done through that perception Morgan spoke of this morning. Where she was walking in heaven in Carm. I bet nobody around her knew where she was or was touching where she was. So she was walking in the heavenlies while they're walking in their reality of hell sometimes. Your reality can be hell. Not mine. I'm not going to let it be that way. She's clothed with the sun. She's wearing the sun, S-O-N, sun, and S-U-N, sun. It's an understanding of the mind. It's all it is. It's not somewhere you go. It's where you are. And the moon is under her feet. Our earth has one satellite, the moon. It reflects the light of the sun. It has no light of its own. Well, I feel like people need to do that in their moon sign. Reflect the light of the sun. Because they reflect the light of nothing most of the time. So we have to be aware of that. The moon is under her feet. She's got an emotional hold and an understanding of her own self. As she's wearing a crown of 12 stars upon her head, that's nothing more nor less than our 12 constellations. And those that want to argue say they're 13. Well, that's ridiculous. Forget about it. Some say there were 13, and if you want it that way, you can have it that way. But it was always a part of the 12. Anyway, so this is going on right now. She being with child, we're birthing a son. Pain to be delivered. Travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Simultaneously now, listen to this. We sang this little song this morning, which whetted my appetite. I'd already had these thoughts anyway as I studied. Simultaneously, while this beautiful thing is going on, there appeared another wonder in the heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. First off, you do know that dragons are imaginary things. They are not anything that has ever even lived. They're out of your imagination. He had 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. So he also has a spiritual type. But remember, he's imaginary. The song we sang is, "Come up where I am, because here dragons can't live." They can start climbing. But you get rid of them. Don't let it become a fire-eating, fire-breathing dragon in your life, whatever the issue is.
Well, dragons usually speak of porting. It's just a simple, it's a want beyond the need.
Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, because in all the stories, you know, the dragon makes the town people bring tribute.
Yes, he does.
Right? And sometimes that includes a virgin or whatever. And why he wants a virgin, nobody knows, because he wouldn't know what to do with it anyway. So, you know, but they just hoard for the sake of hoarding.
Yes.
And it's that spirit of, I want it all, and you can't have it.
Right. Absolutely. That's just exactly like my dream I had 40 years ago now. But we were going to visit Oak Ridge, and some of you were not here during this old downtown time, but there used to be a space where, what is there now? Can't remember what's there. But there was a space down there over in the, as you go in to the left up in the corner. Anyway, in the dream, they had a dragon fenced in. And the only sacrifice he would accept were Christians. And he wanted the white people with blue eyes. You know that's Israel. That's all he would accept is food. Of course, back then I didn't have the understanding that I have now. So Johnny and I, in the dream, we went to the top of the thing where they were sacrificing because they were holding one of my sisters. And I was not, we were not going to let him eat her. So we stood in front of him and he couldn't eat us. And we knew that. We had power. Oh, that dragon, so do you. You have power over every imaginary thing that comes to your heart. And it's okay that it comes. We all get them. Okay, it says, and his tail, the very end of him, and we're seeing that now in the world. We've seen a beginning of that. The end of imaginary things where they're finally, or we are finally digging deeper into understandings of how things work scientifically, along with spirituality. And most every time, the science proves what we already knew. I won't lie. It takes them a pretty long time to get smart. I mean, I'm going, good grief. To me, it's a no-brainer. I don't even have to go where they go to calculate. But I'm glad that it's being proven. It's a wonderful thing. It's like eating our eating habits. We're learning how to eat the right things. To live better, live longer, to feed ourselves. And stinking thinking. They got all kinds of seminars and teachings out there that you could go to on every kind of level. I probably wouldn't recommend most of them because most of them deal with the psychic, dualistic thinking realm. And we don't need any more of that. We need this a realm of ascension where we're going up, not going back down to dig holes for ourselves and mankind. We want to take each other somewhere that brings release and a freedom to be who we really are. Amen. I'm telling you, it's taken man a while to do the very thing God said do whenever he created man. Or he lifted up the rock and he crawled out from under it. However it happened, I don't care. Me, I didn't crawl out from under a rock. But some things did. So a dragon stands before the woman, which is ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it's born. The minute God speaks something to you, your own enemy that you create your own in your own thinking and imagination will eat up what God said if you don't recognize your imagination. like Bev said, you walk through life every day, and God is on every hand, and man's going, duh, I created all this, it's all mine. But we can hear from God, where are you, Father? Those little bitty teeny things that happen, words that are said, situations that come, it's awesome. We are experiencing awesome things that's just taking us higher and higher and higher. Not that we're going anywhere. It's just the consciousness being raised to the place that he would have it to be. She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Well, that's not popular today. If you got out a rod of iron and you were a school teacher, they'd put you under the penitentiary. But the scripture says with a rod of iron. So I got to looking at the three words that the scripture uses for love. And people will say all the time, I love you. And they don't know what they're talking about. Not really. Because love goes from soup to nuts. You have the eros love that's physical between peoples. And we do need that, the eros, of course we do. But it's not the highest order of love. And then you have the phileo love, the Philadelphia love, which is an affection that has to do with your soul realm and people you're connected with, so on and so forth. But Jesus said, I want you to agape one another. I'll tell you right now, we don't do that much. Aga means much. And peo means the boy with the stick. It's a much smiting, corrective love. He said, I want you to agapeo one another. Well, you better be in the right crowd before you start agapeo. Because they can't handle it. That's the love he was talking about. Love your neighbor as yourself. He said, that's the greatest commandment. We hadn't got there yet, but we're working on it. What is my neighbor? It's the thing closest to me. In me. That's a deep realm. Since I don't know, I'm like, Bell, okay, God, what is this thing? I don't know this thing. I think I know this thing. But then we got an interpreter up here. Oh, I can interpret that. Well, wait a minute. You were just told on a minute. What realm are you going to interpret this on? Where will it take you? Where would it take everybody else? So she brings forth a man that rules all nations, a man-child, with a rod of iron. And her child is caught up to God in his throne room. That divinity, like we were talking about this morning, that divine part of us, is in your throne room, and you have one. If you haven't been there, find it. It's not hard. It's a soft, sweet, loving, warm, fuzzy thing. Start calling on your throne room to come to you. It's Scripture says he's standing at your door of misunderstanding, knocking, saying, let me in, let me in, I want to come in. So we got him modeled up, right? So the child's caught away. This is always going on. In a place of protection, the woman flees. But the scripture I wanted to get to is this. Wait. Oh, yeah. And there was war in the heavens. Where? In your heavens. In your heavens. Don't put it off on somebody else. There's war in your heavens sometime. Rebecca's pregnant with twins. She can feel the struggle inside of her. So she seeks God. What is this, Father? He said, oh, there is two kinds of thinking in you. One's holy and one's stinking. There's two kinds of nations in you that you're going to be dealing with. Constantly. There's your dual mind right there. It's proven through all the sets of twins in the scripture. People will say they are of two minds. I'm that way a lot of times. I'm going, okay, would the right one stand up somewhere? I need the right mind to stand up here. Because you have another mind that's reasoning. I promise you, it will reason. Okay, there was war in heaven. Michael, the Christ, your divinity, whatever, and his entourage of angels. Are there angels? Of course there's angels. I've dispatched angels myself and watched them function in lives. No, they didn't come flapping around me with wings all the time. But I knew they were present. And they fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought with his angels. But he prevailed not, neither was there found any more place in the heaven for him. So, dragons can't live in the heaven that you go to. They can try, but they just can't live there. So that great red dragon, the thing called the devil, and in Christendom, we finally come to the place where I think 70%, I may have that a little wrong, do not believe in a living, breathing hell, nor a devil. They know that it's right here between your eyeballs. So we've grown a little bit. What we're dealing with isn't something out there. It's something in here that we're looking at. And the great red dragon was cast out, the old serpent. Where did the serpent show up first? In creation. He had a job to do. Your ego has a job to do. The serpent's your ego. And we need a little ego. But we need to keep a rein on it and don't let it become a great red dragon running everything. And you.
You can liken serpent to it's basically like your medulla oblongata, your reptile brain. It's,
yes, it is.
You know, it's just that part of you that is the most basic and animal.
Absolutely. You're right, Morgan. And that's what I was saying about love. When it comes right down to it, we all want to survive. So I don't know what all we do. I know what we do on the surface now already. A serpent was placed in the garden because the Creator knew that man would have to be deceived, or the divine feminine would, because the man couldn't be deceived. He was spirit. So he knew that the woman would have to be deceived so that mankind could know where they were going. They needed to walk through a deception to know what the deception is, and you do sometimes. If you walk through it yourself, it won't deceive you again. Yeah. But if you don't, you can judge everybody else for being there. But you actually have to go there sometimes, and having been deceived. So we're deceivable creatures. And God designed that too, but He wanted us to get above the deception by using spiritual discernment. So He gave us a nose to smell out those things. The great red dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So we know how the story is always unfolding. It's always going. And I want to read us something. I don't know how long I've been talking up here. Back in the Soviet Pistos, I wanted so much to... I am going to teach on this eventually. In some realms, I won't teach on the fallen realms because we've had enough of that. And the fallen Sophia is no more than the great red dragon being deceived, and just has the realms of deception. And I thought, do I need to make a chart of those 12 realms that we have to climb to know who we are? And it goes back to bitterness and all the things we know, fears, hates. Come on, folks. We shouldn't be operating there. We shouldn't even be thinking on those realms. So I'm not going to teach on those negative realms again. If you do want to hear about them, you can go to any of the local churches. They'll talk about them every Sunday. So I think I will teach on the next realm, which is an ascending order. This says, for the Christian Gnostics, the crucifixion of Jesus was not the final crucifixion. The true crucifixion took place in Rome, when the ecclesiastical councils insisted on confining the representation of Jesus to his incarnation under the Virgin Mary, neglecting his existence as the cosmic Christ. What I teach is cosmic Christ. Scripture says everything was created by him, but are they talking about the Nicene Council here?
Yeah.
Okay. And reducing the Holy Spirit to a formula. Not only was the Sophia, bride of the Coptic teachings, lost, but also the Chokma, that's a Hebrew word, and I'm not sure what the meaning is, do you know, Morgan? Of the ancient teachings de-emphasized. In consolidating Christianity, the early church councils limited the workings of the Holy Spirit, according to Adolf von Harnack, renowned historian and theologian of the early church. The vast miracles of Christianity and the vast gifts that were poured out throughout North Africa to Asia Minor suddenly came to an abrupt end because the Nicene Council decided so. But could that stop what God was doing? Well, I think not, since you and I have an understanding of the cosmic Christ. So they were wasting their time binding it. I mean, they ought to have tarred and feathered some of these Roman Catholic people. I'm telling you that. I guess it was the Roman Catholics. Anyway, I just wanted to read that to us because I thought that was so beautiful, them sharing this. Not that I hadn't heard that before, I had heard it. So that's a pretty, pretty thing. I'm really not sure where I want to go now, if I do. Yeah, let's go to Galatians. It's right after Corinthians. Yeah, I'm going to start over here in the 16th verse. I know that's plucking scripture, but all of you have got it written inside you. If you don't, you need to look at it sometime. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Karen was saying that so beautifully this morning. I thought she read my notes, but I know she didn't. For the flesh lusteth, it despises the Spirit. Do you hear me? It's not in league with the Holy Spirit. It hates it to show up. You see, speak something spiritual sometime in the middle of something, and everybody will go, you're out of school, or where are you coming from, you idealist? Because it conflicts. It is in definite opposition to the carnal thinking. It opposes it. And the carnal thinking opposes it. It's constant war. There's war there. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would sometime. But if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law anymore. You have gone above that law because that law is fulfilled in you anyway. You wouldn't break it. It's a fool thing. And then he goes on with the works of the flesh. And Karen mentioned some of these this morning, in a sense. She said works of the flesh. She didn't say what. Now the works of the flesh are manifest to us all, which are these. Adulteries. And that word goes back to the word apostatize, which means a falling away from grace, really. Fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions and heresies, envyings, murders. And it's not talking about murdering someone outwardly particularly, but you can murder them in your heart. Did you know you can do that? Commit murder in your heart. Drunkenness, revelings and such like, of which I told you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things cannot enter cannot even inherit the kingdom of God. But the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace. I had a conversation on the phone yesterday with Jane. What beautiful peace she had. I told her, I said, "Man, it is great to talk to you. You are peace-filled." And she said, "Connie, I think I've come into a new place." She said, "I just feel peaceful." I said, "Well, send it our way. We'll take it." long-suffering. We all say we got that one right. We've been suffering long. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And against such there is no law. So, when I was thinking about doing the teaching, I thought, I am not going to teach on those elements. We've had enough of that. So we'll move on to that ascended realm, where Sophia moves above this realm. And the only reason that we experience those things, so to speak, is we wanted no master. There ain't no God. I'm God. Well, hello. Folks, we need each other. Why do you think mankind lives together on the earth? It's a kinmanship, a kinsmanship with humanity, all humanity. Maybe they're not what you call your blood kin, but they're still kin to you. We're responsible for all of these things. Well, I'm going to put one more thing on us before I close. I was hoping it was encouraging and not putting down, knowing you are the creator of whatever goes on in your life. You can make it better. You can choose it. Or you can choose the negative. We get over here in Revelation 4, or 3, I guess it is, to the last church age, and this will sound familiar to you. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that thou art neither hot or cold." They take surveys on the street. "Do you believe in God?" "Well, I don't know." I just want to laugh. Jesus, I don't know where he was born in. They don't even know he's born in Bethlehem. This is today's stuff.
Where are you, Connie?
Revelation 3 and 15. It's the last church age, Laodicea. "I know thy works. You're neither cold," invigorating when you meet somebody, "or hot, stimulating when you meet somebody. You don't leave them with anything." What do you think of that guy? That he was a guy? I mean, or a person? I'm going, well, I'm trying to get a handle on it. If you just let them be still long enough, I'll dig around in there until I find something about them. You know, feed me, tell me something. So because you're lukewarm, you're just tepid, you're neither hot nor cold, you don't care, smots and icks, I'm just going to vomit you up. "Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel of thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, our little fiery testings that we go through, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear. Anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. So this is the church age end of this that we're seeing. If you don't believe it, turn your TV on, watch the news. Watch anything. It don't have to be news. The newest thing Johnny and I saw is a epic food where they're gouging theirself with all this. Is that the name of it? Epic food. And they're putting food in this round looking thing, and it slings the food at people. I'm going, makes me think of a slingshot fed. I was going, my God, who could be hungry to watch something like that? Where in the world is the substance in that? And he has a huge taco in his hand that I couldn't eat in a week. Anyway, I'm just, you know, saying it's good to know who you are and learn about that every day. And it can be new every day. The mercies of God are new every morning. Just remember, he's so merciful. He's so happy as we turn ourselves around and just embrace what he is and say, yes, thank you for the blessings. I didn't quite see it that way. I was thinking about the West Coast. Johnny said we've got earthquakes, mudslides, and fires. And here we are in the very center of the Bible Belt. Oh my God. What a wonderful place to be with like cool weather in July and a small rain. Do I want to go out west? No. And I just said to him yesterday, I said, well, you know, the West speaks of God comes from the West. Are we fixing to get into some of this, or he's just going to keep us over here safe in Tennessee with this beautiful weather? But there are things happening all over the earth. Shooting planes out of skies, killing people. Come on. Where do we stand? Who brings an end to these things? How do we really feel? What can we do? Can only be part of the positive most of the time, since none of us are a politician. And I wouldn't wish it on anybody. So the only person I would wish it on is a righteous man. But they'd kill him in a minute. They wouldn't have it. So we need some righteous men running. Looking for better things, always looking for better things for us. Story's not finished. This is just the unfolding of it. Thank you for listening. We'll come and hold hands and close.